Today we're continuing this wonderful study in the book of James. It's been very profitable. I found for myself it's been a very profitable study as we've gone through the book of James. I was told years ago when I was in religion, I got to stick close to the mic here. Years ago when I was in religion, I was told that it was a book of legality. But I'm finding as we go through this book, it's a book of freedom, and it's a book of various exhortations for us as believers, and it's just been wonderful. It's been a wonderful journey through this book. Now, last week we looked at verses 13 to 15. Today we'll read verses 13 to 17 to get the context of the verses that we'll be looking at. And remember, too, when we're studying the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, and as God the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures for us, what I would hope that would happen to us is that we would keep our eyes more focused upon Christ. And of course, that's the whole purpose of preaching, is to bring Christ forth before you and before myself as I'm studying, and to present Christ and Him crucified. And the Holy Spirit is the one who has to take it and apply the words that the preacher speaks. And we preachers, I was talking to someone yesterday about this, we preachers are always amazed at the fact, as we get together and we talk, that we speak words, and the Lord, somewhere between you and I, the Holy Spirit takes those words and He applies them to each one of you individually. You each receive something from those words. And that's where the Scriptures talk about where the Word of God won't return void. You know, it'll accomplish what the Lord Jesus has that word sent forth for. So I know for myself, I can speak that this has been very profitable that way for me, because I've been studying before I preach to you, and I'm learning and growing as well in the study. And so it's just been wonderful. It's been just a wonderful, wonderful study. So let's read these verses here, verses 13 to 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So last week we looked at verse 14, and we saw how short our life is. It's like a vapor, Scripture shows before. So it's like a vapor in the winter when we breathe out, and that vapor is there for a second, isn't it? I remember as a kid, we used to go around and go, just for fun, you know, and you see that little vapor come out, and then it was gone. We were always amazed that we used to say, watch the smoke come out of my mouth, not knowing it was air, you know, but that was just something we did as kids. And we can see that even as adults. So our life is like a vapor, or like a shadow. Think of this too. When you're walking on a sunny day and you see your shadow before you, and then say you go behind you walk by a building and the sun is obscured, and your shadow disappears. That too is like how quickly our lives can just vanish. Just be over. And this COVID, this epidemic that we've been going through, is proof of that, isn't it? That's one thing. I was talking to my daughter on the phone yesterday, and one of the things she brought forth is, this has taught me, she said, Dad, this has taught me to live life to the fullest each day, but to cherish you and Mom and Joshua, because we don't know if we have tomorrow. And it was really neat, and it opened up into a discussion about what we're studying too. And it's just incredible to see how this virus, this pandemic, has definitely brought forth to us the frailty of our lives. How quickly we can, you have healthy people going into the hospital, and a week or two later they're dead from this virus. So it just shows you. And you notice something with this virus, this pandemic too, is it's indiscriminate, isn't it? Doesn't care if you're rich or poor, or doesn't care if you're old or young, right? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So our lives can be here 1 second and gone the next. And we must live each day as if it's our last day, because we don't know if it is. So enjoy the day that the Lord puts before you. Enjoy the day. Fence off today from tomorrow. Don't worry about the things of tomorrow, because it's today. Now that's hard for us to do. It's very hard for us to do. But we ought to do that. And we ought to give every day thanksgiving for the great things that the Lord has done for us. He saved us from all our sins. We're saved from all our sins. But wicked men would dwell in the body, but suddenly God comes and snatches away their souls. Life is short. And we must lay up storage for a short voyage. And this life is like a voyage for us. We're heading to another country, beloved. We're heading to another destination, a better country, the scripture says. So let us lay up for a short voyage rather than the long one. And that's what this is teaching us, is that our lives are really short. Really short. How do we know what will be on the morrow? Well, we don't, do we? We don't know what's coming tomorrow. But we do know that tomorrow and all the tomorrows that will follow are in the hands of our great King. He has them all. He has all our tomorrows in his hands. He knows the exact time when we're going to depart from this world. When we will enter that port, if you're thinking of our life as a voyage on the ship, we're entering that port where we sail no more. Into the heavenly Canaan land. We've reached our destination. And you know who drove the ship all the way there? The captain of our souls, beloved. He's the one. Oh my. Think of the ark. I was talking to Dan and Kathy yesterday, and we were talking about the ark. And think of the ark. God told Noah, build an ark. The only reason Noah was told by God to build an ark, the scripture says, is because God gave grace to Noah, because the scripture says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The only one who made us to differ is God. We found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Right? And God told Noah, build that ark. So he built the ark. Right? God supplied everything to build the ark, didn't he? Yeah, he went to work, he built the ark, but God supplied everything, all of it. Ark was built. God bought two animals of every kind, right? And then the scripture says God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut them in. And everybody who was in that ark was safe from the wrath outside. Because God shut him in. You know, all we who are in Christ are safe from the wrath of God. And that rain represented the wrath of God. It fell upon those people who were mocking and laughing. That rain fell upon them. But God shut them in and they were perfectly safe. So not a drop of rain, not one drop fell upon them or anyone inside. Because remember, that ark was pitched. And that represents the blood of Christ, beloved. Sealed up with the precious blood of Christ. So not a drop of God's wrath will ever fall upon us, because it fell upon our Savior. So we're trusting the very one who has all our tomorrows in his hands. And when our tomorrows are finished, when today is the day that we're going to go with the Lord, here, just take us home. Oh, what peace. What peace that gives us. What peace that gives us. And we live every day like it's the last day, giving praise and glory to our great God. Thanksgiving to our great God who saved us from all our sins. And oh, when you consider the shortness of our life, the frailty of our life, it makes we who are God's people want to flee to Christ every day. It makes us hunger for heaven, doesn't it? When we see everything going on in this world, it makes us hunger for heaven. But don't worry, beloved. Our lives are like a vapor. Soon we'll be with the Lord. Soon we'll be with him by his grace and mercy. And think of this, God knows all the future. Do you know all things are present to our God? He doesn't live in time and space. Everything's present to him. Scripture says he knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all. He knows how it's all going to wrap up. He knows when it's going to all wrap up. He knows the very second we're going to breathe our last breath and be with him. Nothing eludes his all-seeing eyes. Nothing. It's wonderful. What peace that gives us. We talked about that this week, sister. What peace that gives us. Knowing that our God is in full control. Knowing that he's running everything. That our lives... And think of this. If you can run everything in this world, everything. Like I'm talking, you know, stars flying across the sky and the weather patterns and all this stuff. Air to breathe, right? He gives rain for the just and the unjust. You know, he gives air to the just and the unjust. He gives everything to us, doesn't he? If he can run all that, he can save my soul. That's easy for him. He can keep me. That's easy for him. I'm just a little speck of dust in his creation. Why do we think more of ourselves than we should? We think, oh boy, this is, you know, I don't know if I can take this to the Lord. This is a big problem. Take it to the King. Nothing's too small and nothing's too big. Take it to him. If he can handle running the universe and everything in it, all things visible and invisible, then our problems are absolutely nothing to him. This church is his. The church is the people. We who are here, we're his by purchase, by possession, by creation. He's going to take care of us, isn't he? And he has, and he does, continuously. It's absolutely amazing. So nothing's too small for us to take to the one who holds all our tomorrows. Just take it to him. Take it to him. Don't ever think something's too small. Now the knowledge of the future is hidden from us, and we ought not to pry into it. We ought not to pry into it. We will benefit greatly from being ignorant of the future. Could you imagine if we knew the day that we would die? I don't want to know that. I don't want to know that at all. I'm so thankful that the Lord hides that from us. See, because then it makes us live each day as if it's our last. Makes us hold our kids a little tighter. Our grandkids a little tighter. Right? Makes you a little more tender-hearted to those around you. Because we don't know if we have tomorrow. And since our great God is with us, we should therefore then be content leaving the future to him. Leaving the future to him. And think of this. The one we're leaving the future to has unerring wisdom. He never errs in his wisdom. We err in our wisdom. We do. Have you ever done something and look back on it and go, boy, I shouldn't have done that. Right? God doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. We do, but God doesn't do that. No, so let's trust his unerring wisdom. Oh my. Next, look at verse 15. We see in verse 15, it says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So may our resolve be as what's brought forth here to say, if the Lord will. Now, I'm not talking we have to go and everything we do say, well, if the Lord will. But that should be on our minds. You know, religious people take this stuff and then they say all the time. You know, I've learned to say Lord willing more because it's true. But it doesn't have to be something we have to check boxes with all the time. We know it, don't we, as God's people? We know it. Okay, I'll make a plan, and if the Lord wills that plan to come by, then so be it. It'll be a blessing. Just leave it in His hands. Right? Just leave it in His hands. Lord willing. And one commentator, I like this, one commentator said, our lives should be written. Across our lives should be the words, if the Lord wills. I like that. Written across our lives. My, oh my. So may we as believers resolve to let these words be written across our lives. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Instead of saying we're going to go to such and such place, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, well, Lord willing, I'll do that. Even in our minds. Lord willing, it'll come to pass. Do you know that this is the condition that the New Testament saints lived in? This is why I wanted to hit this verse a little bit more, because there's some scriptures I wanted us to look at. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. And we're going to see that this is something that they commonly spoke of as believers. And Lord willing is talking about if the Lord's will be done. If we go somewhere, Paul said he was hindered sometimes by God. He was hindered even by Satan. But that was God's will for that to happen, right? And in other times he had freedom to go into certain places and preach the gospel fully. And we are to be agreeable to the sovereign will of the Lord. For everything which comes to pass in this world comes to pass because of His will. Look at this in Romans chapter 1. We'll read verses 8 to 12. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Look at this. Making request, if by any means that now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. So we see Paul's even writing like this. We see James writing like this. Now we see Paul even speaking this here. By the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end. You may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. You know, when you get together with fellow believers and you get that burning in your hearts, and you'd be talking on the phone or sitting around talking, and you just get that kinship, that it's wonderful, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful. Well, that's what Paul's talking about here, by the mutual faith both of you and me. Sometimes just talking to a fellow believer about the Lord will get you so excited and just give you such peace, won't it? Because why? Because our minds are being taken off the things around us, and our minds are being centered around Christ. We see in verse 10 of Romans chapter 1 that one of the things Paul requested at the throne of grace, that he might have the opportunity to visit the church at Rome. And he prayed that it might be the will of God for him to have a prosperous journey, which means profitable, a profitable journey, a profitable visit among them. He's not saying, well, I hope I go there and get lots of money. He's not talking about money at all that way. He's not talking about that. He's not saying, well, if I go visit here and there and there, I'm going to get some money for preaching. He's not talking about that at all. He doesn't care about that. God provides for him everything he needs. He's not talking about that. He's talking spiritually. That they might profit spiritually, and that he might profit spiritually from his fellowship with them. Do you see how Paul puts himself on the same level as other believers? I love that. I really like that. I'll be honest with you. That just rings my bell for seeing a preacher doing that. Because that's how it should be. Paul knew that he was no better than any other saint. He said, I'm the least of all saints. That's how we should be as gospel preachers. We've been gifted with the ability to preach, and God puts us places to preach. But we ought to remember where we came from. We were in the same pit as everybody else. And what Scott Richardson said, the ground is level at the cross, right? You know? We're all saved sinners, aren't we? And I just love that with Paul, that he says, not only are they going to profit, but I'm going to profit too. You know, every time I get together with a believer or talk with a believer on the phone, I always come away going, my, what a blessing to be amongst the people of God. To be able to talk about our Savior. To be able to talk just about our lives too. We are truly an honored people. We are truly a blessed people to have one another. Number one, to have our King, but also to have one another in the sweet fellowship that we can enjoy with each other. And then turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul wrote this to the 1 Corinthians church, the church at Corinth, in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4:19. And then put your finger in Hebrews 9. Or Hebrews 6. I'm sorry. Hebrews 6. I'll give you fair warning on that one, because we're going to be heading there too. So 1 Corinthians 4:19 and Hebrews chapter 6. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 4:19. He says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will." See, this was common speech among the saints. I'm going to come see if, Lord willing, if the Lord will, that's what he's saying. "And will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power." So those little words, four words, if the Lord will. So again, this is a common saying among God's people in New Testament times. And it would be good for us to follow their example, eh? It would be. And we see in this little clause in our text, if the Lord will, this brings forth that we ought not to promise anything to others about tomorrow. You know, I had a friend of mine, he was going to have a yard sale this weekend. He's an older fellow and he wants to get rid of some of his stuff. And I had told him a long time ago that I'd help him. I said, "Oh yeah, I'll come help you." And then since we're doing this study, I'm thinking, Lord willing. But you see how we naturally just say that stuff? Well, Lord willing, I'll be there to help you. Turned out he canceled, but I was willing to go help him. Oh my, see, but Lord willing, but it wasn't the Lord's will. Right? It wasn't his will. My, oh my. So we are not ought to promise anything to others as to the future, or determine within ourselves that, oh, I'm going to live this long and I'm going to have all this. Remember the man with the barns last week? Well, I'm going to build my barns even bigger. I'm going to put all my stuff in one giant barn. And the Lord said, "Thou fool, tonight I require your soul." My, oh my. See, that man stored up for years thinking, "I'm going to be good. I'm good. I'm set." Little did he know the Lord required his soul that night. So Paul is here with good reason. He scoffs at the rashness of mankind in planning what they're due 10 years afterwards. They don't have the security for even living the next day. And we're not bound to, again, to use these forms of expression, but we should consider the truth of these words in our hearts, if the Lord wills, and try not to sin in a presumptuous way. Remember last week we looked at it was the sin of presumption. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's a sin of presumption. We don't know. We must subject all our plans to God's will. All of it. All of it to God's will. That's why we can say, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 5 years if the Lord lets me live. We don't. We don't know what the plans of the Lord are for us. We have no idea. Now turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. And we see Paul here bring forth the same, again, the same thought in these verses. Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 3. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this is what I want to look here, verse 3. And this will we do if God permit. Lord willing. Same kind of thought. So it should be the determination of every gospel preacher to preach Christ. To preach Christ. The great truths of the gospel. I don't know if I have tomorrow, so today I'm going to preach the gospel. Just preach it. Wherever God has called them to do that. And there may be many adversaries for the gospel preacher, and there will be. He may be reproached, he may be slandered, he may be deserted, but he must preach the gospel. Must continue to preach the gospel. Must preach the complete sin-atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfect work done by him. And whenever God permits him to preach, he must preach if God permits, or if God wills it. God's permission is to be observed in the ministry of the word, in giving gifts to men, in placing them where he wills, in making their ministry useful and successful. It's all according to God's will. See, even preachers are prone to take a little glory. John Claude told me years ago, and I am so thankful. I'm so thankful he told me this. He said, Wayne, the most important thing is preaching the preeminence of Christ. Don't seek the preeminence. Those words have been ringing in my head since he told me those. And it's so true. The gospel preacher, we are not to seek the preeminence. We are to give glory. If we say, look at this, we're to say, look what the Lord's doing. Look what he's done. It's not about me. I'm just a mouthpiece. And when he's done with this mouthpiece, he'll just raise up another one. Right? It's true, isn't it? It's true. We know because faithful men have gone home to be with the Lord who preached in their generation. God raised me up to preach in my generation. And I'll tell you what, I am honored and grateful that I'm here to be with you. That he bought me here. I'm just so thankful for all of you and for the privilege of preaching the gospel to you. I love you all dearly. I didn't even know you 6 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Look what the Lord's done in 6 years. It's been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. And it's all him. He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. All of it. So we see here brought forth in these verses the frailty of human life. Again, we're like a vapor. One person said, like a bubble on the water. You ever see a little bubble on the water and it disappears? I never even thought of that one. I like that. Just a little bubble. Your frogs will blow up bubbles, right? Or fish. They come up, they're gone. That's how our life is. It's like a little bubble. A little bubble on the water. Formed and then dissolved into air and instantly lost. Instantly gone, right? Once that bubble breaks, it's gone. That's what our lives are like. So let us bring the reasoning of the scriptures here before us to heart. Do we know what it is to come to make plans when we don't maybe have tomorrow? Do we know that our life, truly my life, is like a vapor? I know we hear these things, but have we really took it to heart that my life is just, I'm going to be here 1 minute and gone the next. And be in glory instantaneously. All because of the mercy of God. Now, do you know we're already citizens of another country? Do you know we already have our citizenship in heaven? We're already citizens of another country. We're just passing through, aren't we? We're purchased by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased us on Calvary's cross. And now we're ambassadors. Every one of us is an ambassador for Christ. And what does an ambassador do? Well, he brags on his country, doesn't he? He brags on the king. Oh, my. And you know what? We're soldiers for Christ. You know that, too? We're soldiers for him. Brother Tom, you know what it means to be a soldier. And you were a soldier in the army. Now you're a soldier for Christ, brother. What a great honor. We serve the captain of the Lord's host. We serve the commander-in-chief of heaven. That's remarkable, isn't it? Oh, my. Citizens of a different country. How? By the will of God. By the will of God, because it pleased him to do so. And one day, when this all ends up, we're going to be in glory. We're going to be in glory the minute we breathe our last breath, if the Lord don't come back before that. And why? All because of a union we have with Christ. All because he's the head and we're the body. Without him, we can do what? Nothing, the scripture says. Nothing at all. So never forget that you're God's property. Don't ever forget that you're God's property. You're God's property. He purchased you. He made you. I like what they say. We're his twice. He created us and he bought us. It's true, isn't it? I got so far ahead of myself and off my notes, but let's go read verse 16 now. It says, but now you rejoice and you boast, and all such rejoicing is evil. So James is bringing forth that such boasting about tomorrow is very presumptuous. It's the sin of presumption. Without regard to the will of God. That being presumptuous about tomorrow without regard to the will of God is sin. We make plans, blueprints, without a reference to the will of God. Again, we should always subject our plans to the will of God as believers. And warnings like this are often received with contempt by the ungodly. They say, what do you mean you should always subject your life to the will of God? What do you mean? Well, because he's in control. We saw he has the power to what? Save and to destroy, doesn't he? And we should subject ourselves to him, shouldn't we? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And God's people do. God's people do. And you know, people who act and act with contempt to this, us saying, you know, we do this by the will of God, it's not through ignorance, it's through contempt. They hate God. They might not come out and say, I hate God, but they do in their hearts. You know how I know that? Because I was there. When God saved me, he made me realize that even though I didn't say I hated him, by my sinful actions, I was saying that. By my saying, I won't have this man rule over me, I was acting with contempt to God. And isn't it amazing that this is what's incredible about the grace of God. He takes a person with contempt to him, and he turns him into somebody who's praising him. That's a miracle, isn't it? There's a miracle happening every time the Lord saves someone. It's a miracle right there. Oh my. Let's read verse 17 here. Therefore to him that knoweth good, knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So a person who knows what is right with regard to what's being written before this passage, which is putting a watch on our tongues, sowing discord among the brethren, slander, evil speaking, idle boasting, concerning our lives and daily activities, to him who does not bridle their tongue like that, it's sin. We know better. If the will of God is revealed to me and I refuse to obey it, or I postpone my obedience to it, I'm guilty. Do not postpone your obedience to gospel. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Do not postpone your intended service for Christ. Do not postpone your witness. The time is short, isn't it? It's short. Soon we're here now and we'll be gone tomorrow. But we're here, we'll do all things for the glory of God according to the will of God. Now for all who will listen to this message, here are three things that are sure. Soon you meet God in judgment. Because it's appointed unto man once to die. If you're not clothed in the righteousness of Christ and washed in his blood, you will perish for eternity. But if you believe on Christ Jesus unto life everlasting, God will give you eternal inheritance, an eternal inheritance. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So what should our attitude be before the Lord as a church regarding the future? As a called out assembly here in Almont, confident faith. Confident faith, the Lord's will be done. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Humble submission. Humbly submitting ourselves to the will of God. Earnest zeal. Let us earnestly and zealously seek to do his will for the honor of his kingdom, for the honor of his name, for the furtherance of the gospel. That's why we're here, for the furtherance of the gospel and for the increase of his kingdom, which he adds to. It's not up to the preacher, it's not up to you, it's not up to me, it's not up to any. God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one who does that. And this I know, whatever God's will about the future may be, it is the very best thing possible for us. For us. It's precisely what we who are the children of God want. We want his will to be done. And what do we say? Glory be to our great God. Glory to our sovereign God for the mercy that he's shown you and I. And we pray that as this message goes forth, that he'll use it for his glory to draw in his lost sheep all around the world. That's our hope, isn't it? And that God's people will be built up in Christ. Oh, may he receive all the glory, honor, and praise.